The Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution protects against self-incrimination, and since the easiest way to solve a crime is to get a confession, there is a thick and rich body of law that governs police conduct during interrogations. Much of this law was well established before 1984. 100 years earlier, in Hoped v. Utah, the Supreme Court ruled that a confession is not admissible if it is obtained by operating on the hopes or fears of the accused, and in doing so deprives him of the freedom of will or self-control necessary to make a voluntary statement. In 1897, the court, in Bram v. United States, said that a statement must be free and voluntary, not extracted by any sorts of threats or violence or promises, however slight. A confession obtained from an accused who has been threatened cannot be admissible. In 1960, in Blackburn v. Alabama, the court said, coercion can be mental as well as physical. In reviewing whether a confession was psychologically coerced by the police, the following factors are crucial. 1. The length of the interrogation. 2. Whether it was prolonged in nature. 3. When it took place, day or night, with a strong suspicion around nighttime confessions. And 4. The psychological makeup, intelligence, sophistication, education, and so on, of the suspect. And in Miranda v. Arizona, the most famous of all self-incrimination cases, the Supreme Court imposed procedural safeguards to protect the rights of the accused. A suspect has a constitutional right not to be compelled to talk, and any statement made during an interrogation cannot be used in court unless the police and the prosecutor can prove that the suspect clearly understood that, 1, he had the right to remain silent, 2, anything said could be used against him in court, and 3, he had a right to an attorney, whether or not he could afford one. If, during an interrogation, the accused requests an attorney, then the questioning stops immediately. Miranda was decided in 1966 and became instantly famous. Many police departments ignored it, at least until guilty criminals were set free because they had not been properly advised of their rights. It was harshly criticized by law and order types who accused the court of coddling the bad guys. It worked its way into our culture with every cop on TV spitting out the words, "You have the right to remain silent," as he made his arrest. Rogers, Smith, and Featherstone knew its importance because they made sure Tommy's Miranda procedure was properly recorded. What was not seen on the video was the 5.5 hours of nonstop threats and verbal abuse. The confessions of Tommy Ward and Carl Fontenot were constitutional disasters, but at the time, in October 1984, the cops still believed they would find the body and thus some credible evidence. Any trial was months away. They still had plenty of time to build a solid case against Ward and Fontenot, or so they thought. But Denise was not found. Tommy and Carl had no idea where she was, and they repeatedly told this to the police. Months dragged on with no evidence, not a shred of it. The confessions became more and more important. Indeed, they were to become the only evidence the state had at trial.